I loved what Pastor Nate spoke on Sunday. Go and show. That was so good, wasn't it? What Andrew shared with us. I feel like he's got a theme going on with us, right? What Lee Grady spoke. I mean, it's all going along with what our purpose is, right? Our purpose is to go and preach the gospel everywhere to all creatures, right? And the scripture that even Mike just read in Matthew 16, we're going to go there first. And we're going to keep reading in Mark 16, starting with verse 15, even though he just read that. And it says, "And then he told them, 'Go into the world and preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed.'" Then in verse 19, "When the Lord Jesus had finished talking with them, he was taken up into heaven and sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. And the disciples went everywhere and preached, and the Lord worked with them, confirming what they said by many miraculous signs." God is a show and tell God. If we tell, he's going to show. And I think back to all the things that God has done in my life and all the things that God has done in the Word. And you think about these many times where he was showing who he was to the world. You think all the way back to Moses and you think about the Red Sea parting. I mean, this was a sign. This was a show that God is who he said he was, right? You go to the New Testament and you think about Jesus and Lazarus being raised from the dead. And when he prayed, he said, I'm praying so that all of you hear what I'm praying, because I want you to know that God is who he said he would be. And so he says, "Lazarus, come forth." We see Lazarus raised from the dead, 4 days dead. I mean, pretty miraculous, pretty big show, right? And, you know, we recently watched the movie, The Greatest Showman. Anybody seen that movie? It's a really awesome movie. If you haven't seen it, go see it, because it's got some really good stuff in. But you know what? God is the greatest showman. Because he's showing his word to be true. And all we need to do is kind of hook up with him and do what he tells us to do. And he's going to do the showing. He's going to confirm the word. He's going to work with us. We just have to do our part in the telling. And he does the showing. I don't know if you remember what it was like to be a kid. But when you were in school in kindergarten, did you ever have show and tell? It was like the coolest day ever in kindergarten when you get to show and tell. And so I could only imagine little P-Nady in kindergarten, what he brought to kindergarten. It might have looked something like this, right? And he's going to tell, you know, all the really cool things. Did you know that Superman was like fast as a bullet and he can jump and he can fly? And, you know, I could only imagine what little P-Nady would have said about Superman, because he's one of his little heroes. But I think if we think about Jesus in his life, his whole life was showing who God was. He was the visible representation of our invisible God. And so everywhere he went, he healed, he preached, and everything that he preached, God confirmed. And in what we were talking about on Sunday, it's so interesting that we were talking about, you know, our testimony and our story that we have. And we have a story to tell. God has done something incredible in us, right? We have this incredible testimony of what our lives were like before Jesus and what our lives are like now. And in Revelations 12, we're going to go there. In Revelation 12, this was so interesting to me. Verse 11, this has been kind of really just in my heart a lot lately. And we'll go back up to verse 10. And it says, then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, it has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who live in the heavens, rejoice. We're going to go a little bit further down. And if you go down to verse, this goes into talking about the dragon, and it's really just talking about Satan and how he was pursuing the woman, which was Mary and who was having Jesus. And he was pursuing him, and he was trying to get rid of Jesus because he knew the plan. He knew that Jesus was going to be a big deal. And he goes on to say that, then the dragon tried to drown the woman in the flood. I think it's all like this crazy metaphors and whatever. But if you go down with verse 17, and the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children, all who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus. I thought this was really interesting. First of all, we have overcome and defeated the enemy by the blood of the Lamb. Amen to that. There is nothing else that has defeated him but the blood. And then it goes on, and by their testimony. So if we have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony, the testimony is pretty important too. I'm not saying it's more important than the blood of the Lamb, because that is the most important. But their testimony has something to do with defeating him. And then when it goes down here where it says, and the dragon was angry at the woman, declared war against the rest of her children, all who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus. I just know that the enemy is trying to stop our testimony. And he has waged war against the people that are trying to share this message. And I know for me, I don't know about you, but I know for me, there has been times in my life where I feel like the enemy has tried to silence me from sharing. Have you ever felt that way? I know I have felt that way. And there's been many times where I felt like, there's so many reasons why I felt like the enemy was trying to silence me. And I just believe that God wants us to know, first of all, that the enemy is completely defeated. He has no place. Secondly, that there is some keys to understanding what the enemy's trying to do. And once we recognize it, we can take authority over it and we can overcome it. So let's go to 2 Timothy. Y'all know this. 2 Timothy, starting with chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Verse 8. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord, and do not be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, to be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. Do not be ashamed, because you know what? He's going to back up what you're saying. Don't let the enemy silence you, because you have some amazing stories to tell. I've heard parts and pieces of some of your testimonies, and it's like we're not even the same people, right? It's like those people, that old man is dead, and we have become new creations. Our lives are different because of what Jesus has done in our lives. And the enemy doesn't want us to share that. He wants to keep us quiet. He also wants to keep us from sharing for so many different reasons. And he wants to keep us quiet because he wants us to feel like we're not worthy. I don't know if any one of you have ever felt that way. Like, who am I? That's the question that comes to me a lot. Who am I to be the person to share, really? Because if you knew me, you would know that I am the last person on this big green earth that would be up here sharing in my own strength and power. I was terrified to do anything like this when I was growing up. In fact, like, I probably didn't talk to most people but my family for a really long time. And you know what? God uses those people that seem very unlikely to do some pretty incredible things. You think about David, and you think about how he was just some young little, you know, guy, a teenager who just believed in the God that he was told about. And there was a huge Goliath that came after him, who represents the enemy in our lives, you know? There was nothing about him in the natural that was like the best. He wasn't the most good looking. He wasn't the strongest. He wasn't the tallest. But God looks at the heart. And see, God, he just needs a willing vessel. In the Old Testament, you know, you hear about the story about the, you know, the donkey who talked. I mean, sometimes that runs through my head. I think, well, if God can use a donkey to talk, then God can use me. I mean, he was a donkey. That was a donkey. And he could talk. I mean, like, okay. You know? He can use me. I remember when Lee Grady was here and we were talking about, you know, we were talking about our voice. And sometimes we feel like we don't have a voice. And I remember I had just had one of my babies, I think it was Adelie, and I was in the mother's room and I was just listening to what he was saying, and he said something about, you know, God wants to restore your voice. And it spoke to me so much because I said, you know, there's many times where I felt like God had something for me to say. But I'm like, God, I don't understand why you're talking to me, you know, because I'm not the person. I know there's times where, you know, you hear about Moses and how many times when God was talking to Moses, he had to make a burning bush because Moses was not going to do it if he didn't have this big sign. And one of Moses' big deal was like, you know, I'm not eloquent. Why are you talking to me? But you know what? God believes in us. He sees something in us, and he wants to use what's in you, and he wants to use you in the most incredible ways. But all we have to do is just be obedient, be willing. He doesn't need somebody with this beautiful eloquence. He just needs a willing vessel. His power will flow through, and he'll use us in a way that's bigger than you can even imagine. And I was back there in that room, and God was speaking to me, and the thing he said to me was, you can't ride Nate's coattails. That's what he told me. I was like, are you kidding me? Okay. And he said, I have something for you to say. And I said, God, you know, I'm the girl that was not very smart growing up. I'm the girl that took a lot to make good grades. I'm the girl that, you know, had a hard time learning to read. And I needed God helping me to learn to be a fluent reader. You know, he takes the unlikely to do great and mighty things because it's a sign. Our lives are a show to the world what Jesus can do. He can do some amazing things. See, the enemy wants us to stay in this place of bondage to our past. He wants us to feel like, you know, hey, we've completely messed up and we've done things that, you know, we shouldn't have done. And that disqualifies us for the future. But that's not true. That is not true. We cannot allow him to keep us in this place of constantly being reminded of our sins. He's the accuser of the brothers and sisters. He's going to continually try to accuse us of things that we've done in our past. And he's going to try to bring those things up in our minds and keep us in this place where our minds are just totally fixed on the past. So that we can't move forward and do those great and mighty things that he's calling us to. But we know what Romans 8:1 says. For there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is not condemnation for us. That past was the past. It is under the blood of Jesus. And there is not one thing in my past that disqualifies me to do what God's called me to do. We can't let him keep us there. And he also wants to keep us in this place. Well, I messed up, so I got to do some more good deeds so that I don't, you know, I can go to heaven. And this whole thing, like I'm going to lose my salvation at any moment, it is of the devil. Because it keeps you in this place of trying to earn your salvation. And if you're always in that place, you cannot focus on anything else because you're always concerned. Well, I messed up. I gotta pray some more. I gotta do my Bible reading, and I gotta go to church. Those things are all good things. We should do those things. I'm not saying that, but I think the enemy wants to keep us in this place of just distraction, place of bondage, where we're just so caught up in what's going on around us that we're not even dreaming about those things, because it's not even in our thinking. He also wants our show not to line up with our tell. A lot of times we have our past, and that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about what our everyday lives are like. He doesn't want us that our testimony and what we do to be the same. God wants our testimony and what we do to be the same. He wants our lives to reflect Jesus. He wants our every moment, what we say, what we do, to be like him, so that when those people are saying, well, I thought you were a Christian, you know, that there's proof, because you see our lives are just filled with him. Let's go to Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Let's let our lives shine. Our lives shine for Jesus and be part of the show that he shows the world. Let's go to 1 Peter 3. It's starting with verse 15. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speaking against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Y'all, I know this. I'm not saying we're going to be perfect in any way. I am not perfect. No way. But I'm just saying, let God wants our lives to shine. He wants our lives to be different. He wants our lives to show something. He wants it to be a sign for unbelievers that there is a Christ. Like what? How do you have joy despite the situation you're going through? Because we have a Savior who's defeated all things and overcome. Let's let our lives shine and show the world. And the thing is, you know what? We've messed up. And what happens is when we do mess up, our conscience messes with us. And that's when we go to 1 John 1:9 and we just say, God, forgive me, I messed up. And he said he would cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We are righteous in Jesus because of what he has done. And we have to live in that place of remembering our righteousness, because when we remember our righteousness because of what Jesus done, we're no longer held in that bondage of sin. That bondage of sin is what tries to keep us in this place, to keep us from doing what God's really called us to do. The enemy wants us to live in division and strife. Because when we're living in that division, we're distracted from what the real deal is. I just dream of the day, and Pastor Nate kind of talked about this on Sunday. I dream of the day when the body of Christ understands that we're one body. And we're not all these different divisions of one body. We're one body. And if we worked together, we could do this thing. We could share the gospel with the whole world and Jesus could come back. And we could work together. And I think the enemy has us distracted now with what's going on in politics and the whole racial division thing. He wants us to get really distracted with stuff that's going on in media and all this stuff. I want every person to know the love of God. And I want every person to feel the love of God. And I believe that the body of Christ, if we just came together and just showed the love of God, like Pastor Nate was talking about, to each other, the world would see it. And it would be different than what's going on. In Matthew 24, it's talking all about the end times. And in Matthew 24, verse 13, it says, let's back up to 12. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world, so that all nations will hear it, and then the end will come. Our job is to preach the gospel to the whole world. Enemy wants to get us distracted off that plan, right? We cannot allow him to get us distracted. Yes, we've got lives, we've got things going on, we have children, we have jobs, we have all this stuff in our lives, and we should work and we should take care of our families. And I believe that God wouldn't ask us to do something unless he would give us the strength and the power to do it on top of all the things that we have to do. But everybody's plan for doing that is going to look different. You know, what Lee was talking about all those different things, like the untouchables and the dead and the women, the children, yes, all of those things. There are people, there's a plan that God has for you to reach these people and to share the gospel with them. And I believe now is the time that the enemy wants us to be silent, so he wants to get us distracted and off that plan. But if we know what his plan is, we can be aware of it and we can say, no, we're not going to allow that to happen anymore. Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit living in us. And that power, the purpose of the power is to be a witness. And because the purpose of the power is to be a witness, we have the boldness to do what he's called us to do. Are we going to let him get us off track? Are we going to let him silence us with fear or feeling unworthy or with our past? Are we going to allow him to bring division and strife? You know what? Our family, just division and strife in our own families is one of the distractions that the enemy brings. Because one of the most powerful agreements that you can have is between a husband and a wife, I believe. I don't know about you, but have you ever prayed with your husband or wife and felt just a strength of agreement? The enemy's plan is to divide. We can't allow that to happen because we've got big things to do for him. Our testimony is big. We're going to read in Titus, and then I'm going to close this up. Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. That's intense. But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's our testimony. Because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. That's our testimony. Our testimony is we once were lost and now we are found. We once, you know, were led astray, but now we know the answer. Our testimony is so important. And if we would just tell it, God would show and confirm those with signs and miracles, just like Mr. Mike was talking about. There's miracles waiting, and it doesn't have to be, you know, a person standing with a mic like this. It can just be like in Kroger or in the store, and God can do mighty things. What I want us to do before we leave tonight is I want to, first of all, pray. We're going to pray together. But then I want you to get together with a partner, and I want you to share your testimony. I want you to share what God has done in your life, what Jesus has changed from death to life. And try to do it in a very short, I know that's a big, long thing, but try to summarize it into a few minutes. And just use your voice to share those things with somebody that you don't come with. somebody maybe new that you don't know. And we're going to pray together. Lord, I just thank you that you have done a work in each one of us. You have brought us from death to life. And the enemy's plan is to stop us from sharing that. And he wants to silence us. But right now, we take authority over the enemy. You have no place. You're not going to silence us any longer. You're not going to allow fear to silence us. You're not going to allow our past to silence us. We are going to be bold because you have made us bold. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing your work in us, helping us to share your message, helping us to share the good news without being afraid. Even though we may have some fear, Lord, I thank you that we can step past that fear and we can just be bold because you're going to back us up. You're going to confirm what we're saying with miraculous signs and wonders. And we're so grateful that you work with us, that we're not doing this on our own, that your Holy Spirit is showing us things, that you're telling us things, you're showing us where you want us to be. And Lord, I thank you that tonight is the night that we say, yes, we'll do what you tell us to do. We're not going to hold back anymore. We're not going to be shy. We're not going to be intimidated. We're not going to be ashamed of the gospel because the gospel is what saved us. So we're going to share it without reservation. We just thank you for it. Thank you for helping us to be obedient to your voice when you tell us to do things. That we wouldn't hesitate, but we would just be bold and step out and trust you that you're backing us up. You're going to tell us what to say. You're going to tell us what to do. And we're just going to do what your word says. Lay hands on the sick and you're going to heal them. Thank you for healing them. Lord, we're just going to share the good news and you're going to save them. We thank you for salvations. We're just going to tell our testimony, tell what you've done in our lives. And we're going to trust you that you're going to do mighty things because you've done mighty things in us. We just thank you for it. Thank you. Thank you for doing mighty things. Thank you for doing mighty things. Thank you for changing us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for making us new. Lord, help us to show others who you are. Show others that you sent your only son. And if anybody believes in him, they'll be saved too. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.